anybody out. Some of you saw that movie in 1966. That puts an age on you. A romantic British comedy in which Alfie, a charming but selfish womanizer, played by Michael Caine, romps through a series of self-indulgent romantic relationships and eventually loses the only woman he finally comes to love. The question, what's it all about, occurs near the concluding moments as he looks at the shambles of his life but doesn't yet know how he needs to change. A remake came out in 2004, this time with Jude Law playing the hedonistic lover, Alfie. Set in Manhattan. In the update, the women he meets are much more sophisticated and assertive than their sisters from the previous century. Yet again, he exploits the string of lovers for his own ego's satisfaction, and he loses out in the end. In the new version, he finally sees the damaging consequences of his destructive lifestyle as it causes dreadful pain to the woman who had taken his professed love seriously. That, admittedly, is all from Google because I haven't seen the movie. But I think the question is good. So what's it all about? With self-absorbed Alfie, it has to do with what he valued, sex, and what he thought life was for, more sex. And he discovered that his attitudes and assumptions didn't ultimately get him the satisfactions that he expected. What's it all about? Well, I certainly asked that question, and I'm sure that the questions probably crossed your own mind once or twice when you thought you had met all of the requirements and expectations to reap some benefit that you had wanted, only to have the rug pulled out from under you, or life's path unexpectedly did a hairpin turn, and as you brushed yourself off, you were thrown off track. What's it all about, anyway? I mean, there have been a couple of jobs I've been fired from, and I didn't see it coming. Should've, but didn't. You don't have to be self-absorbed to be tripped up. You could just be inexperienced and naive, or lacking the needed knowledge or broad enough perspective to interpret the signs. You could have been fascinated by something in particular that kept your attention off the social signals that might have been a clue. Or, gee, nobody taught me how to read crystal balls. And haven't we all been there at some time or another? Mm-hmm. Okay. If you were once a happy participant in the hippie movement in the age of Aquarius, you may have pondered this question multiple times in these passing years. I know I've had to adjust my expectations and priorities a number of times since the 60s and 70s, especially as we learned new facts about some of our philosophical and political idols. When you discover that your beloved saint had feet of clay, or some historic political decision did not usher in a utopian age after all. Mm-hmm. And how fragile now is our democracy, which we have taken for granted over the generations, when its healthy function depends on the participation of trustworthy leaders and an educated and engaged citizenry. But the media, over the last two generations, has increasingly encouraged people to spend their time and their money to seek beauty and youth, or macho power and thrills, or to appear wealthy even though you aren't, or to act cool to attract the desirable arm candy. Is that what it's all about? Well, the media seems to think so. I mean, after all, advertisers don't make their dough from advertising liberal education and civic engagement and voluntary service for others and hard work and sacrifice for those you love. Those values don't get much press. And the media has to make its dough from the advertisers. So that's where they spend their time and money. Well, that's my post-Independence Day editorial. Now back to the broader question, what's it all about? What's this life all about? Especially now, since so much of the life we thought we could count on a few months ago or a few decades ago, for better or for worse, is rapidly being altered by people who have never set foot in Oregon or care about what you or I might value. So I'm inviting you, for you in your circumstance now, and I'm sure you have changed your mind about some of this, but what are the most important values you personally need to make your life worthwhile? Maybe they're political values, or maybe they have more to do with family, how you work, your health, creativity and aesthetics, or maybe with your own integrity, maybe with your mental and emotional health or your spiritual devotion. What are the values? Yes, you could probably make quite a laundry list, but are there some key ones that if those aren't in place, nothing else is quite right? What are those? In the song Alfie, lyrics by Hal David, so he's the poet, tune by Rick Bacharach, and I won't try to sing it. What's it all about, Alfie? Is it just for the moment we live? What's it all about when we sort it out? Are we meant to give, take more than we give? Or are we meant to be kind? And if only fools are kind, then I guess it's wise to be cruel. And if life belongs only to the strong, Alfie, what will you land on an old golden earl? Well, and it concludes the author being Hal David. I believe in love, Alfie. Without true love, you just exist. Until you find the love you've missed, you're nothing. So the song gives us a couple of ways of thinking about what it's all about. And finding true love may, in fact, be some people's all about. Or maybe the question boils down to, what is the meaning of life, or the meaning of my life? I mean, philosophers have talked about there being some out there purpose that we're all supposed to discover. Psychologists say that the purpose is in here. And for thousands of years, people have explored the idea, is there a purpose? Do you make your purpose, choose it, discover it, ignore it? Is there no purpose? Does it have to do with your genetic makeup? For thousands of years, brilliant philosophers have discussed and speculated about the meaning of life. Philosophy is an important subject and has its uses when it comes to ethics, perhaps, but when it comes to determining the purpose of life, even the wisest philosophers are just guessing. How many of you take philosophy today? No, but you can find it in the library. And in the June-July issue of Philosophy Today, Dr. Hugh Moorhead, a philosophy professor at Northeastern Illinois University, wrote about his research on the purpose and meaning of life. He once wrote to 250 of the best-known philosophers, scientists, writers, and intellectuals in the world, asking them, what is the meaning of life? He then published their responses in a book, so he made a little money, did a little research. There's a lot of benefits to this little project. Some of the people who responded offered their best guesses. Some admitted that they just made up a purpose of life. And some were honest enough to say they were clueless. In fact, a number of famous intellectuals asked Professor Moorhead to write back and tell them if he discovered the purpose of life. Of course, author Doug Adams knew, 42. At least that's the explanation of life, the universe, and everything, until you read his sequel. Christians will tell you that your purpose is to befriend or revere God and serve the divinity, which other people might call the spirit of life, or the source of all, or the mystery beyond naming. There's room for wonder in the world, and whether you have a deity out there creating it for you to wonder at, or whether the world is itself just wonderful, maybe that has something to do with what your life meaning is connected to. By whatever name you know it, the rest of your life will make sense and be a source of deep joy. Not that there won't be troubles and difficulties and disappointments and pain, but your perspective becomes altered if you see beyond yourself, beyond trying to fix your own psyche, something that is the meaning and purpose of your life. Your perspective becomes altered when you are looking beyond yourself. So now maybe you're awaiting my answer. Well, have you figured out your own? Two different authors have written about the jigsaw puzzle that life seems to be, and Gilbert of Gilbert and Sullivan wrote an insane song in the end of, you know, all of the Gilbert and Sullivan shows, if you've seen them, have some kind of a quandary that's far-fetched, and people get all upset about it. In this show, the Duke and the Duchess of Plaza Toro and their daughter and their drummer, valet, assistant, and 1, 2, 3, 4, I think there's 4 people, maybe there were 5. Anyhow, they were all tearing their hair, what's going on? And they finally sing, "Try we lifelong, we can never straighten out life's tangled skein. Why should we in vain endeavor guess and guess and guess again? Life's a pudding full of plums, care's a canker that benumbs. Wherefore, waste our elocution on impossible solution. Life's a pleasant institution, let us take it as it comes." At any rate, here are 2 other points of view about the purpose and meaning which you may be puzzling over. Julia Drury wrote, she's a motivational consultant. I had not heard her name before. "You have to work on the pieces of the puzzle that you can see and trust that the other pieces will come into view in their time. Remember, compassion is the rule and the guide, the undergirding and the reason for everything." What do you know of those missing pieces around the edge? Maybe God kicked them off the table or has eaten them. Maybe God pocketed them to plunk them down in front of you at just the right moment. What do you know? So, work at the center where you are now on what you can see. Enough of this speculation stuff. And Rabbi Lawrence Kushner wrote, "Some people seem to be born with a nearly completed puzzle, and so it goes. Souls running this way and that, trying to assemble the myriad parts, but know this, no one has within themselves all the pieces of their puzzle. Like the days before, like before the days when they used to seal jigsaw puzzles in cellophane to make sure that all the pieces were there, everyone carries with them at least one and probably many pieces to someone else's puzzle and has some pieces missing. Sometimes they know it and sometimes they don't. But when you are presented with your, when you present your piece which is worthless to you to another, whether you know it or not, whether they know it or not, you are a messenger from the Most High. Whether you believe that puzzle pieces come from the Most High or from serendipity or from Winnie the Pooh. Well, this is why I read Us Too. You'll learn more about yourself if you pay attention to what other people are saying and doing and thinking and sharing what you're saying and thinking about. And there will be times when you mistake turkeys for dragons. And there may be times when talking about dragons gives you new insight into turkeys. There will be times when working on the puzzle of what it's all about may seem like your problem alone, but very often, while talking to someone else, a missing piece will be revealed. Just a conversation with someone who's willing to be open to you and listen to you as you share your thoughts and be non-judgmental about what's important to you, that can be an extraordinary gift. Sometimes even talking to your pet or someone in your dreams or to your neighbor while chasing dragons together. Whatever you're doing, if you're talking and listening non-judgmentally, answers may begin to appear. So I want to invite you into an experiment. This will take maybe 4 minutes at the most, but let me explain it first all the way through. We're going to take 3 or 4 minutes, each one working with one other person close by. It can be a partner, a friend, or somebody sitting behind you. But if you're comfortable doing this, if you're not, you can sit it out, that's fine. You can have your conversation in your head if you want to, but you've done that before, haven't you? And you already know what Pooh says. So you're going to have one person speak only for a minute, just to name one or two of the values that are most important to them and a little bit about how they came to be valued or why they're valued now. That's all. Just one or two things. We're not making essays. The other person listens. You can nod, you can smile, you can don't shake your head and don't argue and don't say, oh my, no rolling of eyes. Just listen. Oh, that's really interesting. I know a little more about you. And then you're going to take 15 seconds of silence. The listener thanks the speaker. Take 15 seconds of silence while both of you sort of gather your thoughts, settle into your breathing, and then you trade roles. And for 1 minute, the old past listener now gets to speak for about a minute about some value they have and maybe a little bit about where it came from and why it's important. Just that much time. And then the listener thanks them. You don't have to be sitting here looking at the clock, but if you're one of these people who loses track of time, maybe you can ask your partner to keep track of time for you. Okay, so that's how it's going to work. It's just going to be no judgment, just intense interest and curiosity about the other person. Then you thank each other for doing that. And if you decide you don't want to participate in this, if you'd really rather just sit silently or watch the rest of the room, I invite you to sit silently and quietly meditate, pray, breathe, however you do it. Pass love into the room. Hold these people with care who are doing the sharing. And you're going to have more time over refreshments to explore your thoughts with your partner or anybody else if you'd like. So the only thing I ask you to do is don't do chit-chat. anybody. If you've talked your values and you've said thank you, then that's it. Just drop into silence. Let's see if we can do this in about 4 minutes. Deborah, would you like to play Alfie again? How long did that take? About?
I'm not sure.
What about probably 3 minutes or so? So she's going to play Alfie while you're doing this very quietly. And you find a partner right now, who you're going to talk to, and decide who's going first, and that's it. If you haven't changed partners, does anybody still need time to change? Everybody had a chance to talk? Just one more minute. You will have more time over coffee to finish that. Let's. All right. Finish the sentences you're doing and thank each other. And let's hold silence for about 10 seconds here. Just breathe. Just breathe. How often do we get to talk about important questions in our lives. How's your garden? How are your kids? What's your most important value you're working on today? Growing up, I used to think that all adults would become very wise. That was what being an adult was. Oh, now I know better. But I have become more and more certain about this. And as an introvert, this has been a hard thing for me to come to. Our human race has survived this long because we are basically social creatures, interdependent with one another's experience, wisdom, and empathy. Whether the children have been raised by one family or the whole tribe, the relationships of mentoring the youngsters include mentoring their values. And kids who are exposed only to one set of adults are very narrowly trained and have a hard time discovering what else is out there and whether there's something differently valued. I've got long stories about that, but we won't go there. The world cannot get any better until most of us are living with kindness, generosity, curiosity, and compassion, and teaching it to our children. Until we teach our children that they are precious, and so are other children in other families, in other places around the world. We have to teach that value as well as the ones about which fork to use on your dessert. And since we want the whole world to be more kind, generous, curious, and compassionate, we have to start with ourselves and the world we know, with the people we know. I've been with children and young adults who were mouthy and were surprised when I treated them with respect anyway. And finally, they would say something about it. Why do you talk to me that way? And I said, because I don't want a world that is mouthy and mean. I want a world that treats me with respect, so I'll do that. Just explaining them that doing what you want the world to be like is a choice you can make. It's a choice you can make. That's a value. And sharing with others what we have learned and how we learned it, even if we weren't exactly right about dragons, at least those are the puzzle pieces I've been discovering. And maybe some of them would fit in your puzzle too. Let's join in singing.